Before I begin, we were singing Jesus, only Jesus, I want to trust you more and more. And the one area that I need to trust in Jesus more is the area of forgiveness. I say that because when Art talked about being able to forgive better, and when Grace was sharing the book, Unoffendable, I want to get a copy of that book, because when we were singing, just today, before everybody arrived and we were singing that song, I just thought, Jesus, if there's one area I need to trust you more, it's I need to forgive certain people in my life. And I know that if I forgive them, it means that I cannot expect revenge or repayment. I cannot expect them to apologize to me. I cannot expect vindication, because I have to trust that God will do that. And I will have to expect that that God will do what's necessary in their life. And if he doesn't do that, I still have to trust that he'll do something, because that's the thing. And then, so when Seiki was talking about that song, the lyrics, I felt the same way. I really need to trust in Jesus in being able to forgive people. So I want to thank Art for just being vulnerable, radically vulnerable in sharing that, because I think that allows us to share more comfortably with each other. So that was just extra bonus for that. So please open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1. I am so excited to read and teach this series with you all. It's like I've been waiting to preach the gospel and teach the scripture through this book, the book of Acts. And oh man, I'm so looking forward to digging into it and finding all of the gold and precious stones that we'll find in here. So I hope that you'll benefit from it. I have just, I preached this before. I preached this maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And there's so much that I've learned and so much that I have discovered about this in the last 2 or 3 years that I feel like, oh, thank you, Lord, that I have another chance to talk or to study this. So, hallelujah. Okay, I'll begin at verse 1, and please join me at verse 6. And then we'll meditate from there. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Let's read together. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, and when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the very word of God. Amen? I have a new Bible class from this April, and it's with 9th grade students, 中学3年生, and I asked them in, you know, this Bible class, what do you want to do in the Bible class this year? And they said, 映画見たい. We want to watch a movie, of course, right? And I said, yeah, that's a good idea. And I said, I want to do the Bible. So we did a kind of compromise. I said, okay, you choose the movie. You can do a manga, or even you could do a book, whatever you want. And you each one, you do your own movie. One condition, choose a good story. It has to be a good story, not like, some nasakenai, just some stupid, silly story. And then, after you choose the movie, you're going to tell us about the movie. Tell us the story. And you have to prepare like a PowerPoint, you know, presentation, you know. 中学3年生,面白い. And I said, while you prepare and teach us the story, I will tell you how the story of the Bible will match, because every good story matches the gospel story. Every story. The gospel is the greatest story ever told. Yeah. And every good story finds its story in the gospel story. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's our plan for this year. Yeah. So we are reading this amazing story in the book of Acts. It's the story of the church. And it's the story of you and me. And what happens here in Jerusalem connects all the way to Japan. And what happens in Mitaki started all the way on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus said these words. It's all connected. And it's this amazing story. It's his story. God's story of making the earth new, of making lives new again. And it's a powerful, transforming, life-changing story. So it starts with Theophilus, this man here. Theophilus is this honorable, kind of wealthy person. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, he's called Most Excellent Theophilus. So it's a kind of title. Maybe he's a government official or some kind of noble man. And Luke wrote the book of the Gospel of Luke to say, I want to investigate everything about Jesus and his ministry, his miracles, his death, his resurrection. Because Theophilus, I know you're a Christian. And you're going to church and you want to know for sure. Is this true? Is this real? Did this really happen? And so Theophilus gives this money, a lot of money, in order for Luke to do the research and compile the stories from Matthew and Mark to make his gospel Luke, but that's only part one. Now we are in part two. We studied part one up until Easter, and now we're beginning part two. And so that's this Theophilus, and he's saying, Theophilus, this is part two of part one. Part one was the gospel of Luke, and part two is the book of Acts. The gospel of Luke is about Jesus, his life, his ministry, his miracles. And then the book of Acts is about Jesus, how he grows the church through the Holy Spirit. And so that's the story. And I want to show you just one thing today. We read from verse 9 through 11 how Jesus just... like Superman, he just flies up into the sky, right? And they're just like, and then the two angels are there. That's called the ascension. It's a very important doctrine in the Christian church, very important teaching. But I want to do it next week. This week, I want to talk about what Jesus talked about in verse 8. Excuse me, I think it's verse 8, about waiting. Yeah, waiting. Until Jerusalem, and then Judea and Samaria, and the rest of the world. So, here's what your life. If you are a new Christian, if you are an old Christian, if you've been a Christian this year or many years ago, here's what you know. The difficult part of being a Christian is the difference between my expectation about how life should be and the reality of how life is. If you can't say amen, you should say ouch. Okay? Right? I thought life will be like this. I thought church will be like this. I thought people and you know, relationships and work, it's going to go A, B, C, D. That's what my expectation, that's my idea, that was my image. And then on Monday, it's not A, B, C, D, it's M, K, L, W, B, X, you know, this crazy life. But that's the reality. And I thought it was one way, but it's actually another way. And this is what is difficult about my life as a Christian. And Jesus understands this. In fact, this is what the Bible is about. It's about everything we expect about this world and how life should be. And then God says, no, it's actually like this. You think it's A, B, C, D, but it's actually alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and then also aleph, null. And it's much more than just one alphabet. It's many alphabets. It's more than just one little idea or vision. It's a great big vision, a great big. It's more than your story and your little life. It's about his story and the greatness of eternal life. Yeah, that's the difference between your expectation and God's reality. That's the big, big part of this story. Where do you get this, Pastor Chris? Well, it says, first thing, the first part in verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. You see, it wasn't like this. the disciples followed Jesus, walking with him. And then they thought, oh, he's the Messiah, he's the king. And then Jesus dies on the cross. And they thought, oh, it's finished, it's over. Okay? And then on Easter Sunday, the women came and said, no, he's alive. And then the disciples said, oh, really? Yeah, he said he would resurrect. Yeah, I believe. He must be alive. Did that happen? No. The testimony of a woman was not enough to convince, unfortunately. So what did happen? The two disciples, you know, they're walking on the road and they're wondering what's happening. And Jesus comes to them. He starts speaking to them. They don't recognize him. And then they have a dinner with him. And he breaks the bread. And their eyes are open. Oh, it's Jesus? And then he's gone. Luke 24. And then they run back to Jerusalem. Peter, James, John, we saw him. And Peter, James, and John said what? Oh, really? It must be true. He must rose. That happened? No. They're in the room. The doors are locked. The windows are closed. Suddenly, Jesus is there. And he says, look, see my hands. There's holes. Look at this wound in my side. And you know what the Bible says? This is Luke chapter 24. He says, they're so full of joy and amazement, they still can't believe. So Jesus, he goes like this. He goes, do you have some fish? Okay. And he says, oh, fish. Where? Oh, yeah, get the sushi plate. And he gets the sushi, right? And they give him the hashi, and he puts it in the soy sauce. And, oh, no, he doesn't do that. But he says, he gets the fish, right? He gets the fish, and he eats it. And he's saying, I'm not a ghost. A ghost doesn't eat, right? You feel me, touch me. And then they said, oh, it must be true. Wow, no. Again and again, day one, day two, day three, week one, week two, over 1 month, right? Because their idea was this. If God raises someone from the dead, it's going to be at the end of the world. The Jews believed all of this is good. The physical world, the mountains, the rivers, the body, the soul. It's good. Not like the Greeks and the Romans. And they believed that at the end of the world, all of the evil, the injustice, the pollution, the hatred, the violence, the war, God will change everything at the end of the world and make everything new. And he'll lift up all of the dead and there will be a resurrection. At the end of the world. They didn't think it would be in the middle of the history. And that's what happened. They expected one thing. And God said, no, 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 this is the reality. And so Jesus, again, convinced them again and again to change their expectation to make it grow bigger. No. You see, here's what a lot of people think. Maybe even some of us here. People think, I want to be good. I believe in my heart that God is changing my spirit, my soul. But my body, it gets sick. It gets old. I have a bad back. I have a bad leg. And oh, my body is so impure, unclean. But one day, I'll die and I'll go to heaven and I'll be free from the pollution and the dirt and the yellow dust. And I'll be free from, you know, the asthma and the gray hair and the no hair and all of that. You know what? That's not from the Bible. You know what that's from? That's from Plato. That's Greek. They thought Plato said, there's the shadow and the substance. The substance is the soul. The shadow is the flesh. And many people still think that way because many of their thoughts today, our philosophy is based on that. And so we think, and even the Buddhists, in Buddhist and Indian religion, Hindu religion, once you are free from the bone and the flesh, you'll be free from reality. You'll have real reality. No, that's Greek. That's Roman. The Jews, the Bible says, in the beginning, God made everything and he said it was good. And then when we ruined it, he says, I'm going to make it good again. So where are you going with this? This is the reality. Our expectation is so small. We think we're just little spirits or ghosts that need to get free from the body. No! What is your idea of heaven? What is your vision of a new universe? It's bridges. It's airplanes. It's bicycles. It's streetcars. It's computers. It's the internet. It's fashion. It's art. It's food. Yes. It's a new body, a glorified heavenly. It's not physical. It's transphysical. Okay, little theology word. It goes beyond the material world, but it's part of the, it's flesh and bone, but it's made new. You have a little expectation, but Jesus says, I'm here to make it greater. The reality is much greater. And the problem is, our mind is so, it's difficult for us to think in a bigger way. But that's okay, because the Holy Spirit helps us day by day, okay? But here's one more thing, and we're going to be finished for this week. We go down, and it says, on one occasion, verse 4, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, wait for the gift my Father promised. This is good. Which you have heard me speak about. Wait for the gift, verse 4, my Father promised. When did the Father promise the gift? And what's the gift? Next verse, verse 6. John baptized with water. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's the gift, okay? Now, where do we get this? Jesus, is this a new teaching? Jesus, is this some kind of new theory that you're trying to give us? No, 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 no. It's not on your screen. Please listen. Jeremiah, 700 years before. Chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah, north and south. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand. My covenant that they broke. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. No longer will they teach each other or his brother, know the Lord. They will all know me, from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah promised a Holy Spirit coming inside. Ezekiel 36. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into the land. I will sprinkle clean water on you. You will be clean from all your uncleanliness. From all your idols, I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put in you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my laws. Jesus told them about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he says, it's coming. It's coming soon. It's not it, sorry. He's coming soon. And so they thought, yes, Jeremiah. Yes, Ezekiel. You know what? When Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah, when they talked about a new spirit coming into our hearts, you know what God said? Not only will there be a new spirit, we're going to have a new country. Israel and Judah will be united. We'll be free from Assyria. We'll be free from Persia. We'll be free from Babylon. We'll be free from the Greeks. We'll be independent from Rome. We will be the new Israel, the kingdom of God. So they thought two things. Watch it. Please watch. The Holy Spirit will come into our hearts, and God will give us a new land. That's what they thought. And so they asked the question. They asked the question. Verse 6, go back. Verse 6. They gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time? We're getting the Spirit, the promise. So are we going to get the land? Are you going to restore the kingdom? You see that? What did Jesus answer? This is your expectation. Now, here is reality. It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, I love this, comes on you. I love the Nihongo. The Nihongo is close to the Greek. The Nihongo is kudaru. It will come down. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Please, this is the summation. Here it is. Ready? The disciples expected a timeline. At this time, the disciples expected a schedule. What did Jesus give them? He gave them a map. God, I need you to fix my husband this year. Okay? Oh, Jesus, I need you to get rid of this coworker in the next, you know, fiscal season, whatever, right? In the next quarter. And Lord, if you don't do this by this deadline, right, have you ever given God a deadline? Okay? What happened to the deadline? So God said, come on, really? A deadline? You give God a schedule, but Jesus says, no, I'll give you a map. You expect a timeline. God says, here's it's much bigger than your little calendar. It's much bigger. I'm not here just to save you from Rome. I came to save you from sin. I came to set you free from death. Let's flip it. I didn't come to give you a better life. I came to give you a new life. Here's your expectation. I'm thinking about being a Christian, or I'll become a Christian, and maybe God will give me peace. And give me a joy and make me happy, and maybe he'll make me free from my guilt, right? Psychological and spiritual. And I think, you know, God, if I become a Christian, I'll be spiritually happy. And God says, it's not just that. It's not just what's happening in your heart. God says, I'm going to do something in your heart, in your family, in your work, and in the city. I'm going to start with Jerusalem. I'm going to go to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. Did you see that? It's much bigger than just your little heart. It's there. But I'm going to make it even bigger. Or here's another expectation. It's a lot of when Japanese become Christians. They have an image of what religion is. And I'm going to become a Christian. I'm going to learn the teaching of Jesus. And I'm going to follow those teachings. And I'm going to obey the master's rules. That's good. It's good to obey and to work and to follow Jesus and to understand what those rules are. And there's a kind of religious life that we live. But is that all that Christianity is? No. Being a Christian is not just the rules and the teachings of Jesus. It's the relationship with God. I wake up and I say, thank you, God, that you're in my life. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, walk with me, talk with me, speak to me. I need to hear your word. I need to see you, right? Because that's a relationship. Yeah. And so we have an expectation of, and this is where it really messes up, because we have, if I'm going to follow the rules and obey the right way, everybody else should be like that. Everyone should follow the rules that I'm learning. Everyone should do it the way that I'm doing it. And God said, no, 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 that's not relationship. You're different from him. He's different from you. Relate to each other. Because that is reality. Right? There's your expectation, but then there's God's reality. And so, oh God, there's that one guy. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way he dresses. I don't like the way he's just kind of hen nahito or whatever, you know? And I'm the worst because I judge everybody. Oh, you have that mask? That you're gonna go with that mask. That's not even a mask, right? Or oh, come on. You think you're so this or that. It's so foolish. And God says, no, Chris, you have this idea that being a Christian is so small. No, it's so much bigger. That's it. That's the point. That's all we're looking at today. What is your expectation? And what is God revealing to you about his reality? Okay? And just take that one idea. Put it deep in your heart. And walk with Jesus. Let it grow. Meditate on it, chew on it, that God's reality is bigger than your expectation, okay? And trust me, it will transform how you love people, how you give people, how to give people. It will transform how you sing and worship. It will transform how you read your Bible. So Jesus says, it starts at Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the presence of God in the temple. And now God is going to take one nation at a time from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. That's the north and the south. He's uniting Israel. And then he's going to go to the ends of the world, all the way to Spain, the known world in the first century. But it goes beyond. Look, it goes all the way to Japan. We're going to discover this story. We're going to journey on this story throughout this year. I'm looking forward to it. But Lord, this is our prayer. Expand my expectation. Transform my vision. Open my eyes to the wonders of your eternal, heavenly, beautiful, good, amazing, spectacular, wonderful, multifaceted, grand, majestic, glorious, heavenly reality. That's the prayer. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you teach us. Lord, more than that, please transform us. Lord, not our story, but your story. Not our expectation, but your reality. Let us walk and live in it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all rise as we sing our closing song together.
Jesus, my Redeemer.